Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful for God being so gracious and so loving and so kind to us. And I just can't stop talking about it. And so let's spend a little time in that word today. I have a very good word, by the way. I have a very exciting word. You are going to love it. This word is the kind of word that you hear and you just, you know, you just feel like reposing for a while. You just feel like leaning, just leaning and just soaking it in. Amen. Amen. It's a good word. Every now and then, the Lord will say to me, I remember a few weeks ago, the Lord said, I want you to speak about comfort to my people. Comfort. I said, comfort. Wow, okay. Let's look for the word of comfort. And then it started pouring. And the Lord said to me before this service, he said, I want you to speak about my everlasting love to my people. Talk to my people about my everlasting love. So some of these messages are quite peculiar. Some of the other ones, you know, it's fire and brimstone. We're crushing the head of the devil. And sometimes we're running over believers to crush the head of the devil. Some of them are really tough words. But some of these messages, the Lord just says, I just want you to speak love. Speak to my people about my everlasting love. So I want to do that today. But before we do, let's do what we did last week during our ALO. How many people enjoyed ALO last Sunday? Man, I was so blessed by that service. I was just beside myself. You know, I was just, but glory be to God. You keep getting better. Amen? All right, you have your Bible lifted up? If you have your Bible lifted up. Some people were lifting up their phone. I didn't say lift up your phone. I said lift up your Bible. They said, yeah, my Bible is in my phone. my Bible is in my phone. I said, okay, if your Bible is in your phone, then lift it up then. All right. Hallelujah. Okay, if you're at home, I can see you. Don't think I can see you. I can see you. Lift up that Bible. Say with me, this is the infallible word of God. It is God's will, God's purpose, and God's promises for my life. I can do what this word says I can do. I can be what this word says I can be. I receive today into the prepared soil of my heart everything that God has to say to me through this word. And I declare that it will produce in my life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's start from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, in the inner man. The spirit of man is the powerhouse in the life of that man and woman. The inner being, everything that is generated in the life of a believer is generated on their inside. That's why in Proverbs it tells us, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in a time of adversity. When you go through the most pressure in life, the source, your greatest source of strength comes from your spirit man. I alluded to this before in one of our midweek services during the recently concluded Olympics. Mental health became something that was really highly spoken of, and it was really being talked about a lot. And One of the reasons being that one of the greatest gymnasts that we all have known here in the States and all over the world, Simone Biles, had everything. She had seemed to have everything she needed, but for some reason she just could not go. She was physically in shape. She had practiced, she had trained, she had done everything she needed to do. But for some reason she just couldn't perform. And she had to pull out and withdraw from some of the competitions and some of the tournaments that she was supposed to be a part of. And, there was so much talk about, mental health. And it's so very important. And as I heard about it, I remember when that thing came to a head somewhere one morning, I was out praying outside in the open with my notes. And I just read the last line. I think she had just withdrawn from another thing. And my heart really went out to her, and I felt so much for her. And, the pressures of life on how old is that young woman? I don't know, 20-something, whatever, I don't know. And some of these athletes, people that we call superstars, the weight of the world that rests on their shoulders, and people just expect that they always have it. They can always deliver. The truth of the matter, however, is what makes you, you? What helps you go? What helps you deal with the greatest pressures of life that you would ever encounter? Is within you. It is the strong spirit of a man or woman that sustains them in a time of adversity. Your inner being, your inner self, that is where the ability to carry the weight of life that are thrown at you, some of them you didn't ask for, they are just dumped on you. But what enables you to carry those weights without breaking under the pressure? Is what is inside you. So that's why God's best gifts are deposited inside us, not outside. God's best gift to your life is not a new car. It's not a new house. It's not a new this or new. No. God's best gift in your life is inside. It's deposited inside. Because inside is where everything happens. This is the powerhouse. That's the generator of every life. And let me say this to you. I say it sadly. I say it. I wish it wasn't true. I know it is true. I wish it wasn't true because so many people don't realize it. But I'm going to say that to you. If you are crushed inside, if your heart is broken and your spirit is fragile inside, you will not make it. You can have all the resources of life you need. You can have every blessing that anyone could ever ask for. But if you don't have the strength of God inside of you, you will not make it. It is the strong spirit of a man or woman that sustains them. You will only go as far as your spirit being is ready to go, is willing to go. When the pressures of life begin to come heavy and strong, and things begin to get really burdensome, there's only one place to go. There's only one place to go, and it's inside. That's why God is inside. It's not outside. He's inside. He said in 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one is in you. The greatest equipping that God will give you as a child of God is in you. That's also part of why you see one of the scriptures we read. When we go through tribulations, we should rejoice. Because God uses tribulations to strengthen us inside. He uses challenges of life, not because the challenges in themselves produce strength. No, the challenges don't have the ability to produce strength. But if we respond properly to the challenges of life And if we do the right thing with the challenges of life, the strength of God that we need to overcome will be built within us. Do you know why athletes and people, why do they train so much before they actually get in their games? It's because they are building something in preparation. That's what the Lord allows us to do when we, listen to me. Look here. Hey, bring him here. Let him come and sit here. You are in trouble. This is what I did to one of them in Akron, in the Akron church several years ago. Come and sit over here. He started boo-hooing. Boo. Here. No, not with your dad. Here, right here. Here. You are sitting here. Here, right here. I want you to sit here. Here. You are smiling? Okay. This is serious business. Hey, here. Right here. Here. Sit here. No, not there. Here. That's right. Sit here. Somebody give me a big Bible. Sit right there. Right there. Yeah. Sit well. Be comfortable. Sit properly. Let your butt be in the middle of the chair. Give him a big Bible. Take your daddy's Bible. Look at your daddy's Bible. Give him. Take that Bible. Open it. Open the Bible. Open that Bible. That's right. Let the food snacks go. No, you will read this Bible today. You and me, we're this business together. The whole world. No, sit down. Don't get up from there. Where's my belt? Somebody get me my belt. Where's my belt? I have a belt. Somebody said, that's child abuse. It's not child abuse. Look at the one I raised. They turned out really well. Very good. And many of them, there were belts on their butt many times. He said, that's child abuse. No, it's not child abuse. It's not. It's when you do it. You do it measure. You do it happy. Everybody is happy. You are happy. The child is happy. Then. we are already doing our family meeting. Family meeting is October 3rd, but we've already started today. Pastor Tinu is ministering in that service, not me. But I'm just doing my part, just so you know. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you don't discipline children in anger. You don't know. You know, you do it. They are happy. You let them do, say, okay, you're happy. I'm happy. Are you happy? Okay, fine. Stretch out over there. They will not be happy after you finish, but let them be happy before you do it. So they know you are not doing it out of anger or abuse. And I know some people go overboard with this, but you've got to discipline children. Because if you don't, it's work. And no matter how much you discipline them, it's still a process. It's just process. You just have to keep working at it. But eventually, they will turn out the way they should. Amen? You still have your Bible? We're reading that Bible today. You and me, we're reading that. You remember this service for the rest of your life, I guarantee. Who was that in the Akron church several years ago? Was that Isaac? I think it was Isaac. Was that Isaac? I think it was Isaac. I got him up to the front row. I said, sit down, you and I, we're going to preach this Bible together today. Oh, woo, 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 woo. Even the mother, the tears started flying. I said, today, you and I were preaching together. You know, mother's eyes can't take it, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get back in the word. The strong spirit of a man will sustain them in the time of infirmity. Everything that will enable you to become what you hope to become will come from your inside. It's not going to come from the outside. Thank you. Proverbs 18:40, you can put that up for me. But when your spirit is broken, when you are broken on the inside, then that's it, game over. If there's sickness raging, symptoms and everything, but on your inside, there's strength. And there's determination and commitment to stand, you will make it. It doesn't matter how much the pressures of life come at you. It doesn't matter how difficult the situations of life, no matter how hard the burdens are, if you are strong on the inside, you will make it. So you know what God does? God focuses on building us on the inside. He doesn't focus on our outside. Outside, those will come. Unfortunately, people, you know, we live in a real world. Everything happens on the outside. People are constantly looking on the outside. God doesn't look on the outside. Remember one time he wanted to pick a king for the nation. And he sent a prophet to the house of Jesse to go pick a king. What did Jesse do? What did Prophet Samuel do? He started looking at outside, looking at the stature. He saw Eliab. He said, man, this guy looks like a king. This really looks like a born king. God said, God said, make them. So he made them pass. One, this one passed through. He said, God said, that's not him. Made that palm. He said, finally, he said, do you have any other sons? Oh, no. He said, this is all of them. The one I have somewhere in the wilderness, forget about him. You, he's not anything close to what you want. He said, call him. We will not sit down until he comes. The moment he came in, God said, that's him. On the outside, he didn't look anything like a king. He did not look anything like a king. But God had deposited, God bless you, God had deposited investment of faith, investment of power, investment of great preparation in the life of that little 17-year-old boy. When he came, he said, anoint him, that is the new king. Do you know all the things David had to go through as he led the nation of Israel, as he did? All of those things emanated out of the things God had invested within him. So you ought to stop complaining about what God is allowing to go on inside of you. You ought to start rejoicing about it. That's why the Bible says we rejoice in tribulation. Because God will take the time to invest in you. Look at it here. It says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Huh, watch this now. When he walks in your inner man, he does it in such a way that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you may become rooted and grounded in love. You may become rooted and grounded in love. Listen to me, child of God. Love is the strongest force in the universe. Love is the strongest force in the universe. That's why I say somewhere in Songs of Solomon, you can never kill the power of love. You can kill the body, you can dismember people, but you will never be able to kill the power of love. Love is the strongest thing on the universe. Listen to this secret. Listen to this secret. The way to become as strong as God wants to design you to be is to become rooted and grounded in love. Love is the strongest force on the universe. The way to become the strong person, the greatest and the strongest vessel that God wants to make you on earth, is to become rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because love is the strongest force on the universe. You can never kill the power of love. You can never, ever, you can never break the resilience of love. People might even make up their mind, I'm going to stand. But eventually you can break them. But when there is love, you can't break them. Love is exemplified by Jesus hanging on the cross and looking at the people dying with him and say, I forgive you. Look at the people stabbing him and spitting at him and say, God, Father, forgive them for they know. Is that strength? Love is you hanging in your most difficult moment and still putting on a smile and say, I love you. That's strength, my friends. You want to know what weakness is? Weakness is tit for tat. Weakness is rewarding people according to what they've done to you. That's weakness. That's really weak. You don't know it, but it's true. Weakness is paying people back the way they treat you. That's weakness. Because what you've shown is you are just as small as they are. But when you are big on the inside, when you are really big on the inside, no matter the stripes, no matter the difficulty, you hang there and you keep taking. It takes strength. It takes strength to take it and to say, I love you anyway. I love you. I love you. So when God is working on the inside of a believer, the way he makes them strong as they can be, is he makes them rooted and grounded in love. He said that you might be that you might become, that you might be rooted and grounded in love, and that you may be able to comprehend with all saints, watch this, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. When you know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, when you have experiential knowledge of the love of Christ, oh my. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. When you know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, you become filled with the fullness of God. Notice, it is that when you know all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you are full of the fullness of God. Notice, it didn't say when you have revelation, you can prophesy, you can da-da-da, you are full. No, but it said when you know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, yeah, then you become filled with the fullness of God. The people that will live the best life, the people that will have the best life experience on this earth are the people that are filled with the knowledge of the love of Christ. The more love you have in your life, the greater your destiny becomes. The more love you have in your life. Oh, ho, ho. The more love you have in your life, the brighter your life becomes. The more glorious your experience becomes. The more love. You know why? Because God is love. The more love you have, the more God you have. The more love you have, the more God you have. Look at your neighbor, tell them, say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Say, I love you with the love of the Lord, I love you with the love of the Lord. But say this, that the only reason I can love you this much is because God loved me when I didn't deserve to be loved. That's it. The only reason I can love you this much is because God loved me when I didn't deserve to be loved. I should have been thrown out, kicked out. I should have been a castaway in the leper's colony. But God drew me. Do you know what he said to them in Jeremiah chapter 31? Look at it real quick. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'll bring you back to this Ephesians 3 just before I close. Because you see, that scripture Pastor Tinu was quoting earlier, now unto God, which I've been quoting almost every midweek service lately, unto God, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. That power that is at work within us is tied to the love of God. The more of the love of God is at work within you, the more power God can generate through your life. If you are one of these people just bad mouthing everybody, just hating and bittering and envying and cursing people out, and listen, God can't do much. He can't do much. There's no power. His power is according to what is at work within you. Look at Jeremiah 31 real quick. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God loves me. Say, this much I know. God loves me. Jeremiah 31 verse 1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. With loving kindness have I drawn you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I don't know if you know it, but God's love for you is unconditional. It's not based on your performance. God's love for you is not based on anything you've done. In fact, the Bible clarifies it for us in Romans chapter 5. When he says here, let's read it from verse 1, because I think that's better. I've been talking about one or two of those verses earlier. But I'm really going to take you, I think, to verse 8 or verse 9. Look at Romans chapter 5. Somebody say, God loves me. God loves me. It's not dependent on anything I've done. He loves me anyways. He loves me anyways. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, look at it from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Listen to this now. If you read this in a more literal translation, it says we rejoice in tribulation. When things go bad, we rejoice in it. This is not a figure of speech. He's telling you he really does rejoice when times get hard. He demonstrated that in Acts chapter 16. They put them in prison. Their backs were bleeding. Things were tough. But guess what? They started to pray and they started to sing in the cell. He said, we rejoice. The Amplified Bible says in verse 3, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles, and let us rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in your sufferings. You know why? Because God will allow the power of his word, which will be your response to the suffering, the attack, the adversity. God will use the power of his love and the power of his word to shape your inside so that you are so strong and your destiny is assured. We rejoice, he says, in tribulation, knowing that tribulation will produce patience. Patience will produce experience, and experience will produce hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Hallelujah. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope maketh not ashamed. He said in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 9, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. So our love was not, God's love towards us is not based on our performance. It's not based on anything good that we have done. It's not based on any way. In fact, the Lord said to them one time in Deuteronomy, I didn't put my love upon you because you were that precious on the earth. You were more than others. You had done more than others. You had qualified. No, no, no. He said, I love you. Look at it in Deuteronomy 7. I didn't love you because of something external or something that you did, some performance. Oh, no, 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 no. That love that is based on performance is ephemeral love that changes with times, with tides, with seasons. But the love of God is unconditional. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The love of God, the agape love of God is unconditional. It is not based on anything you've done or you've not done. Look at it. Deuteronomy 7 from verse 6. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people. Because in fact you were the fewest. You were the least qualified. He said, but he loved you because he would keep the covenant that he swore to your fathers. That's why the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen. It's because he loved you. Know therefore in verse 9 he says that the Lord, he's God. He's the faithful God that keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Folks, I want to encourage you. Let the love of God be one of the greatest revelations in your life. One of the reasons that is so important for you, if you count all the different things that you know, 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 one of the biggest ones has to be, God loves me. That should never be in question. God loves me. In fact, God, He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. He will never stop loving you. I know I jumped ahead. There's a scripture there in that Jeremiah chapter 31. I wanted you to see what it said in the message, because I just love the way He just poured it out and just poured it out, the love of God. Could you put that up for me, please? Jeremiah 31 verse 3. I want you to see that in the message. See what the Lord said to them, where He says, in the King James, I've loved you with an everlasting love. But see what He says in the Message translation, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, and in the Message translation. I just want to encourage you. Let the love of God, let it be one of the greatest revelation in your life. The love of God. I want you every day, assure yourself, God loves me. God loves me. I'm not showing you in a minute why that scripture in 1 John, where it says perfect love casts out fear, I'll show you why that is so. God loves me. God loves me. He's going to keep me. God loves me. You're going somewhere, they say there's an accident is bound to happen. No, God loves me. You're dealing with something, they say this sickness kills people. No, God loves me. God loves me. You are handling a situation in your life and they say people never recover from that. You say, no, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Look at what it says. Met God out looking for them. God told them, I love this, I've never quit loving you. Ha! And I never will. I've never quit loving you. And I never will. Watch this now. Expect love. Love. And more. Expect love. Love. And more love. More love. See, the world has, they have a contorted, confused perception of who God is. I'm going to close out my story. I'm going to close out my message this morning before we take communion with the story of the prodigal son. The world has a contorted, confused perception of God. The world thinks God always has this big stick somewhere. He's always holding this big stick. Let me borrow our musician's keyboard stand here. There are many people on this earth who believe God is always holding a big stick waiting for you to make your mistake so He can strike you. Seriously. There are many people on this earth who believe this, including Christians. And you can see it from how much hatred spills out of them. How much judgment spills out of them. There's a judgment day that has been designated. There is none before them. The only judgment that there will be according to God's discretion. He says even the church, people in the church will be judged. And He says in first, if you don't judge yourself, you will become judged. But there is one judgment day. And until we get to that judgment day, it is mercy. We're in a dispensation of mercy. So today, no matter what you've done, there's mercy available for you. Do you know many people in the church don't believe that? They'll see a walking, living person and they'll say to them, it's over for you. It's totally over. They take camps. I'm on the other camp, you're on the other camp. For you, it is totally over. That's not God. No, this is the dispensation of mercy. His love is provoking mercy and loving kindness towards His people. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know. I do not need to know. When I read real quickly, I'm going to close out the story of the prodigal son. The reason I'm not going to read about his brother depicts, represents the religious people of the world. They won't come in because God loves a sinner. Remember, that's what the Pharisees said to Christ. How come you are partying with sinners? How come you are hanging out with sinners? You should be judging them, not hanging around them. Jesus said the people who are healthy don't need a physician. It is the sick who need a physician. Now, when he said that, though, he wasn't saying we should be partying with them and just partying with them for the sake of partying with them. He was saying we should keep the door open so we could introduce the love of God to them. So we can help them find mercy in their time of need. Hallelujah. But do you know there are so many believers who think God is walking around looking for when believers make mistakes so they can strike them. Bam! That's the third time you are doing it. Bam! It's over now. Bam! That's not God. Look at that scripture. I've never quit loving you and I never will. Expect love, love, love. Child of God, wherever you are today, I want you to hear me. God loves you. God loves you in spite of everything, in spite of what you've done, in spite of what you've said, in spite of what you've not done. God loves you. He's not walking around. How many parents do you know who walk around with a big stick looking for a way to strike their children when they make another mistake? No. Even in discipline, they show love. In fact, their discipline is because of love. Hallelujah. God loves you. Someone say with me, God loves me. Say it again, say, God loves me. And nothing else matters. God loves me with an everlasting love. God loves me with an everlasting love. He's not keeping a record of my errors. He's not keeping a record of my mistakes. He's not keeping a record of my missteps so he can strike me every time I do one. He loves me. Somebody say, he loves me. Say it again. Say, he loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason it is so important, let's try to close this. The reason it is so important that we have a clear revelation of the love of God is the love of God. When you are perfected in the love of God, what does that mean to be perfected in the love of God? It means you are full of that love. You have complete, total comprehension of that love. And you continue to grow in that love. When you have complete love and your love, you are perfected in the love of God, there is no room for fear. There's no room for fear. The things people are afraid of in the world, you look at them and say, well, God loves me. My only answer to that is God loves me. That's all I can say. Somebody can even curse you at one time in an elevator. You're like, this person was wagging. I just went, God loves me. That's all I can say. God loves me. Listen, what does it matter what you think about me? This is what I was thinking. What does it matter what you want to do? God loves me. God loves me. This is the way we should look at sickness. This is the way we should look at the attacks of the enemy. This is the way we should look at death. This is what God loves me. Say it with me, God loves me. Say it again. Say, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm closing. Usually I have three closes, you know. This is the second one already. 1 John 3. Verse 1. Behold, he says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him just as he is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 16. It says in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. The love of God makes you one with him. There is no fear of failure. There's no fear of death. There's no fear of sickness. There's no fear of judgment. He said in verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. Do you know God never has torment? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I want you to hold up your Bible one more time. Hold up that Bible. Wherever you are at home, here in this room, hold up that Bible. Say, this is the word of God. It is the infallible word of God. It is everything that God says I can be and everything that God says I can do. In this word, God tells me he loves me with an everlasting love. Even when I was a sinner, he loved me and gave his best for me. How much more now that I am his child, he continues to love me and give his best for me. There is no fear in my life. I have no fear of any. No fear of disaster. No fear of sickness. No fear of pain. No fear of death. Because I know God loves me. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. I want to close here with the story of that prodigal son. And I can't read it because of time. But I want you to remember the story of the prodigal son today. If you care about reading it during the week, it is in Luke chapter 15, I believe it is. Luke chapter 15 from verse 13. There's something I want to point out to you from the story of the prodigal son. That boy really messed up. He did. He totally messed up. He went to his father and said, give me what belongs to me. The father is still alive. He said, give me what belongs to me out of my inheritance. Give it to me. And the father said, okay. Gave him his inheritance. And the Bible says he went to a far land, a distant country, and wasted all of that inheritance in riotous living. Do you think the father was happy he did that? No, he was not. It broke his father's heart that he did that. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell us, it was the older brother who told us that part of what that young man did was he wasted part of that money on harlots. We didn't know it from the Bible. Directly, we knew from the older religious brother. You know, there are so many people in the church who keep records of your wrongs. They don't represent the love of God. They are on the outside looking in. I want you to look past them. That's why I won't read about the older brother. I'll talk about him. I want you to look into the heart of your father today. There are people who count, they list your wrongs. They list them. Year after year, they list and count your wrongs. That's not your father. You know, there's something the Lord put in my heart to share with you as I close about that younger boy. When he began, God didn't judge him. His father didn't judge him. Life judged him. There are laws on this earth. What goes up comes down because of gravity. It's not God's judgment. There are laws on this earth. What you do to people will eventually come back to you. It's not God's judgment. It's law, the law of the planet. Those who sow reap is a law of the planet. It's not God's judgment. It's a law. This boy started to reap the law of the planet. He started to reap a harvest of the seeds that he had sown. He ran out of money. He had nothing left. It got so bad, he had to get a job taking care of animals, pigs. And it was so bad, he started eating the same food pigs were eating. Listen to me. It was not the judgment of God. He was reaping the law of the planet. The Bible says in the Old Testament, they that sow the wind will reap a whirlwind. Is a law of the planet. It's not judgment. It's not God's judgment. God's judgment, this is not time for God's judgment. This is time for mercy. I know there are many people who have seen things. They say, oh, God has judged him. Oh, God. No, you are wrong. God has mercy. But God's mercy keeps you for so long. At some point, we've got to wake up and say, hey, this is not godly. This is not good. This is not the blessing of the Lord. I want out of this mess. And that's what happened to that boy. He thought to himself, my father's servants live better than I'm living here. So he got up. He prepared a speech. He said, I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to tell him, Dad, I messed up. The dad already knew that. And he says, I'm going to tell him, Dad, I messed up so bad, I don't deserve to be called your son anymore. But please, hire me as one of your servants. Let me take care of your animals because my life will be far better taking care of your animals than taking care of those animals in that place that I was taking care of, eating the food those pigs were eating. He got up and came home and started walking home. Do you know what the Bible says? His father saw him afar off. That is, his father was looking for him. I want you to know today, the Lord told me to tell you, he's looking for you. No matter what you've done, there are some people who believe they've committed the unpardonable sin. It's a lie of the devil. You know, there's even this whole controversy when people say that, you know, there's an unpardonable sin and I think I've committed it, therefore there's no repentance for me. It is a lie. The unpardonable sin applies only to someone who does not want repentance. If in your heart today you still want to come back to the Lord, you haven't committed it. You have not committed it. The person who committed that unpardonable sin wants nothing to do with the Lord. The Bible calls them reprobate. They are reprobate. That is, they have made their decision. I want nothing to do with God. I will never accept his love. Forget it. I'm separate from him. That if I die in my state, that's it. So be it. Yet they have committed the unpardonable sin. Not you. The Lord told me to tell you he's looking for you. Amen. Wherever you are today. Whatever it is you've done, the Lord is looking for you. His hands are outstretched towards you. When that little boy started to come home, his father was out there looking for him, stretching out, looking for him. And the Bible says when he saw that little boy, his son, he ran to him. He hugged him. He kissed him. Listen to me. Listen, please listen. If you haven't heard anything I've said in this service today, I want you to hear this. He hugged him. And that little boy, that young man, started to talk about his sin. He wanted to have a conversation with the father about his sin. The father said, son, let's not talk about your sin. Let's talk about my love for you. Right there and then, he embraced him. You go read that story. I just don't have the time. I can't read it. He called the servants. Not once did the father refer to his sin. Not once. The boy wanted to have a conversation about what he did wrong. The father said, let's talk about what I've done for you and what I have for you. Love. He called all his servants. He said, go get the fatted calf. Get a big ring, signet ring. Put it on his fingers and let's have a party. Let's celebrate. They hadn't talked about the sin. Let's celebrate. Guess who talked about the sin? The older brother. The older brother showed up and he saw a party going on. He said, why are they throwing a party? He said, your younger brother came. He said, that younger brother, that boy, that. He had no love for him. Even when that boy was lost, he was happy to be home and to be the object of the father's love. I'm cool with my father. I'm doing everything my father wants. Forget about that one. He's out there. He's lost. And when the father started to celebrate the boy who came back, he said to his father, he said, but this boy went and wasted all your money on harlots. That's the first time we heard that that boy spent money on harlots. It was from his older brother. We didn't even hear it from the father. And the Bible didn't tell us either. The father just wanted to talk about his love for his son. He just wanted to celebrate his love for his son. Okay. I'm closing now. So I'm going to show you some love. He said, I just want to talk about my love for you. That's all the father wanted. The father said, I don't want to talk about your sin. I don't want to talk about what you've done. The older brother wanted to. He wanted to write a book of what his younger brother did. The father said, I just want to talk about my love for you. As I close this service today, wherever you are, whoever you are, I just want you to know, God just wants to talk about his love for you. God just wants to show you the everlasting love that he has for you. It's not dependent on anything you've done or anything you've not done. It's not dependent on your performance, how good you've been. He loves you. And children of God, I want you to celebrate the love of God for you today. The Bible says there in Romans 8, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not sickness, not death, not affliction, not persecution, not tribulation. Nothing. It says, yea, I'm persuaded that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want us to take communion together today as we celebrate the love of God. God loves us so much. God cares for us so much. You complete him, you and I. Remember what he said to Israel? He said to them, I will be their God and they will be my people. We complete him. Without us, he has no family. He's not looking for a way to punish us and to be harsh and to be mean to us. He's looking for a way to show us his love. We're going to enjoy the love of God for us. We're going to celebrate the love of God for us. The loving kindness of the Father that he showed to us in the precious death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate that. We're going to take the light off of the negativity, the words of the enemy, what the world says, and we're going to put the light on the word of God and his love for us. Do you know that because of his love, he's made preparations for you? Because of his love, he's made arrangements for you. Because of his love, he's seen to it that everything about your life worked together for good because of his love. Let's take a few minutes and celebrate the love of the Father for us today. Let's celebrate the love of the Father for us today. Tell him, Lord, I'm so thankful that you love me the way that you do. I know I don't deserve it. I know there's nothing I've done to qualify for it. But I thank you that you love me so much. I thank you that you are so kind to me, that you are so merciful to me. I thank you, God, that instead of giving me what I deserve, you give me love. Instead of allowing me to suffer from the laws of the planet, Lord, you give me love. When I came running back home, Lord, your arms were wide open to receive me. And I wanted to have a long conversation about what I had done, but Lord, you said, no, let's not talk about you. Let's talk about my love for you. I want this to be a revelation to us today. I want us to, like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I want us to receive knowledge, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, to have the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of God's love. To become full with the fullness of God. Let's do that in this service. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your loving kindness and your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for picking us up from the depths of the earth and the rubble and all the dirt, Lord. And thank you, Father, for giving us a place beside you. Thank you for the precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you.